Skankfest New Orleans is happening November 14th through 16th. Get your tickets right now. There's only individual day passes left. All access is sold out. VIP is sold out. Do not miss out on the biggest Skankfest we've ever had.
What are those dates again?
November 14th through 16th.
Shit, I've got something. I'll try my best to be there. What tickets are left?
Single day passes.
Oh, only single day passes.
I'll come Sunday.
Yeah, I'll swing through if I can. Look, I mean, like, you know, the plans aren't in stone, but they're pretty fun plans.
So. Marilyn Manson live twice.
Marilyn Manson, back to back, same day. Skankfest is everyone's yearly party that you know to come to see all your favorite comics in the world and get to hang out, take pictures. It's a fan fest.
It is the largest lineup we've ever had. Favorites like Tim Dillon, Shane Gillis, Nick Mullen, Joe Liss, Robert Kelly, Sam Hyde, and obviously the Legion of Skanks, and many, many more. Over 150 comedians, 6 stages, 3 full days of comedy, fighting, music, and everything else you love about Skankfest. Go to skankfest.com right now and grab your single day passes.
Hey guys, do you love merch?
Come on.
Well, you didn't give me any more information than merch.
True.
Well,
you did just say merch.
Do you guys love merch? It's a crazy thing to ask the fans.
Hey, do you guys bash for merch?
Hey, I'm talking to a bunch of merch heads here, right?
Legion of Skanks is back, everybody, with merch. Bigger and better than ever.
We got t-shirts, we got hoodies, coming soon, hats, a bunch of brand new designs, and new designs coming out all the time. All you got to do if you want to join the Skank Revolution is go to skanksmerch.com.
Merch!
Merch!
So much merch!
You guys want merch!
The revolution will be fought with merch!
Fill her up!
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your bomb cast. Big J killed from like OJ Simpson. A quick, if the fingerless glove don't fit, get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. They natural born killers, Legion of Skanks.
Welcome to the Clash!
Hello, Jason.
Hello.
I put that offer in for that house.
You what?
I put that offer in for that house.
You guys remember from the podcast in 2 weeks?
we're gonna
memento this story of Lewis buying a house for our audience. Just have it staggered through different podcasts.
That was the one you showed us all the picture of, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
As fun as homeless Lewis is, I do root for you to get this house, buddy.
As fun as homeless Lewis.
He's a good time, Jay. It would always be a good hang.
I know. It wouldn't be cute anymore.
At least you got much better options. If you were homeless, you got much better options of friends to stay with, man.
It is funny, but when Lewis was homeless, it was like, I'm homeless. It's like, yeah, dude, we're all on the brink.
I'd be like, hey, don't worry, buddy. You're never going to be out on the street. You can come share this bathroom floor with me that I rent.
You guys were all like literally one slight tragedy away from being homeless. Like, I'm talking about, like, you know, you're a fucking.
So you're like, oh my God, Lewis is homeless. This is terrible. Oh, I dropped my laptop. I'm homeless too.
Yep. Well.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens, boys. I don't know why, like, I'm just so soured on the idea of fucking it just falling through, because I was positive this one was going to work.
Well, because you have a whole thing in your mind like, in your mind, you're about to own the house you're in, and you're not going to have to move, and then that all gets shattered, and then that just, it's hard for that to not throw you into a funk.
Because I really was giving the offer. I was like, whatever, here's the offer, like... They're probably not going to take it. She's like, why are you saying that? She was like, you're giving one of the best offers we have.
For this new one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And it's not that much more than I was planning on paying for this house. So if that happens, I can't wait to shove it in my fucking Jew landlord's face.
What town is it?
I don't want to say.
Oh, they can bleep it.
Here, I'll put it in the chat.
Sure.
Put it in the chat.
Throw it in the chat.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a town over. One town over. It's literally a 6-minute drive from my current house. It'll be, actually, it's closer to my sister and Beatrice
And
great.
Yeah.
And it was like, you should be really close to your sister.
Well, no, we're back. Yeah. Me and her are back.
Listen, dude, that doesn't go haywire every couple weeks.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you guys have smoothed out that toxic relationship of 40 plus years.
Yes. You guys are fine now, probably.
I'm a good dude to her. She agreed to stop stealing my weed, and I agreed to stop hitting her for it. I don't want to trash her, but she, I mean, it's almost comical who she is. Like, I gave Bianca, her daughter, $50 for graduating elementary school.
Yeah.
Aw. My sister just took it.
You're just saying you know that for a fact, or are you saying like I just know she did?
Bianca was like, "You stole my money, Mama." I was like, "What the fuck?"
She had a face like, "What are you talking about?" You know?
Yeah, that's fucking rough, dude.
It's crazy.
Didn't your mom do that to you? Steal your money?
Yes.
Isn't there a story about that?
The reason is it's how my book ends.
Oh, really?
it's a spoiler. Moment where I realized
that was like the last time you ever saw her, right?
Last time I really spoke to her. Spoiler.
Yeah. Spoiler. There wasn't much money.
Well, no, it was, I don't even know how much she was trying to steal. She was just rifling through my wallet. Good God.
Yeah. And
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Yeah. Well, my sister, the reason it's almost comical is because she's unapologetic about it. Like, she's just like, yeah, all right. I took it. What? Do something. She mushes her daughter.
I robbed you. Get mad at me or don't. Don't care.
Jesus.
She's like, she goes, you stole from me. She goes, look, I did, but I'm moving on. And I think you should do the same.
Sometimes parents steal from their children. No, they don't.
Oh, sometimes.
Yeah. So now from moving forward, I want to give my niece something. I have to give it to her in
a check with her name on it.
I'm not gonna like actually buy her things. I can't just give her money, but like she's at an age where like she likes getting money. She likes to have the money to like go to the mall and shop and do what she wants to do.
We don't want to keep setting her up to get robbed constantly.
It's crazy. But I love my sister.
Give her a gift card.
Well, I'd probably just be like, hey, let's go on Amazon and buy some things.
Yeah, it is so funny. You're like, but I love my sister. It's like, I think there's been a few like concert things or something we've done where it's like, hey, and then blah, blah, and you and your sister go, you're like, well, hang on, we hate each other this second. And
then you're like, well, it was
it's like a couple, and then you're like, we're back. This last one was Pantera, yeah.
What's up with this Africa concert, Jay? Or Toto concert, rather, I should say.
Still happening?
Yeah?
Yeah, we're just going to get... We're going to be on the lawn, dude. We're lawning it.
All right, let's do it.
It's going to be fun as shit.
Lauren was saying the other day, she's like, I want to go to that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about it. But yeah.
Toto.
Is Pantera happening?
Yeah, next day.
Dude, could you stop talking about your pussy-ass concerts? We're going to see Toto here.
Christopher Cross and Men at Work. Pulling support.
We're also going to see System of a Down and Korn at the end of the summer.
Yeah. The end of August. I know that is funny, but that is a funny two back-to-back shows in two nights to go. It's Friday night, Christopher Cross, Men at Work, and Toto, and then to Pantera, Amon Amarth the next night. I don't know anything about Amon Amarth other than they do that Viking ship thing, which I heard is awesome live. You know what that is, Lewis?
No, I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, it's like the Viking ship. The whole audience like does this thing together. It's pretty fucking cool. I've never seen them.
I don't really know their music at all.
I don't know a song. I don't even know what they sound like, what the voice of the guy is.
I'm struggling to spell them, but I'm getting there.
A-M-O-N.
A-M-A-R-T-H.
And we want to watch a live version?
Yeah.
Of something. Just type in that. Type in the Viking ship.
All right.
I think that's the thing they do. And then you'll see. So I would like to get there just to see that, but I don't know a song, nor do I give a shit about their music.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's always funny when there's something about a guy, like there's something about a person in a band you have to see. They always, when I saw Five Finger and Manson last time, they're like, dude, you got to get out there for I Prevail. And like the lead singer is a Russian lunatic who has killed people and he fights in bare knuckle fighting championship. Like, okay.
You see this one band? They're like...
a bunch of like metal sluts, but then they play topless. That's their whole thing.
Oh,
it's out,
buddy. Me and you are on the same algorithm because June 15th, I almost went to go see. They were playing in Jersey. They're called the Soap Girls. Is that what you're talking about?
Maybe. Let me see them. They're super heavy. It's almost like trash, metal.
I don't know what the music.
Might be some different whores that figured out the same thing that idiot guys would be like, okay, I'll come see you.
I almost went. They played on Father's Day somewhere in Jersey. I was gonna go see fucking the Soap Girls
because it seems what the show is. Particularly sad on Father's Day to go see that band.
Oh no, it looked like it would be kind of fun, but their music looks. It seems like it might suck.
Yeah, they don't have dads. They need dads in the crowd, Dave.
Yeah, boy, idiot. I have to be their daddy now. Oh, by the way, it was Slaughter to Prevail, not I Prevail.
I Prevail is a different band.
Slaughter to Prevail is the name. Everyone's like, they're so fucking
Alex,
good.
Are you finding any of the stuff we're looking for? I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I have both. Which one do you want first?
Let's go with the topless titty bitches first.
All right, topless.
Are they called the Soap Girls? Is it Soap Girls?
If it's these girls, then that's them.
I don't think this is them.
So it's different thing. Wow.
And Dan, is this your push?
Okay. It's so bad.
There's me and Jay up front. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring it. Be back. Satan lives. Okay. No. This one is, I think, called Witch Club.
Oh wow. So they got bad. They got competition.
Pulp Witch Club. Witch Club Satan. WITCH Club Satan. Yeah, this is for sure. And they're like black metal. They're cooler. This dude, I put my titty band up against your titty band any day of the week.
They're not my titty. Don't call them my titty band.
They're your titty band, dude.
They're not my titty band. They were my
algorithm. You look like the bassist with your shirt off.
Shut up.
Yeah, can we get? Let's get their music up, Alex.
This is your titty band here.
Let's see. If you can find them. I mean, I almost feel like their video is not going to be topless. You got to find them like live.
So far, Soap Girls are winning.
Yeah, and well, this is Alex's fault. Alex doesn't like these girls because they all look like her.
I love girls that look like me.
Here we go.
Jay, this is going to be more your speed.
I already know that I'd like this show more.
Oh, yeah, look at them. They're so metal, dude. It's so funny that they're like, if you talk to her, pause it for a second. But if you just talk to her off stage right now, she'd be like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of want to get a Diet Coke.
Funny. I think about that all the time with like music stuff. Like when you have to put on a performance like this.
Yeah, it's so funny to be like, I get it. Like if you're like a kid or whatever, but you're like, she has to go from this to walking off stage to being like, my fucking boyfriend's being an asshole. She's like in the middle of a text thing.
It's anybody. It's the funny, it's the humanizing factors of anything. Marilyn Manson in his most like darkest stage, like, you know, macabre fucking moment. Like if he walked off and he like closed his finger in a door, he'd be like,
But just like the second they get off stage, they have to go back to just regular problems. Like it's just like out there like, rah, 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 rah. And then they go back and they're like, guys, if I put my name on the lo mein, don't eat it while I'm on stage. Like
he goes, thank you and good night. Please tell me there's pizza in the green room. I'm starving.
Nothing but mushroom. You guys know I don't like mushroom. All right, whatever. You guys want to hit a diner?
You guys want to get a foot rub? My dogs are barking.
Think of the things as a man that you get bitchy about, like just in your day-to-day life, like the things that make you bitchy. And it's like, that'd be the funny thing. It's the 180 of like your coolest moment ever. If they had to happen back to back.
Wait, keep playing Witch Club Satan.
Yeah, no tits yet.
Flesh rotting ground.
I love metal, but it's so stupid.
Oh yeah. Particularly this.
Yeah, it's retarded.
All right, fast forward a little bit. I need the acapella.
Wait, here they go. Well, dude, looks like the soap girls reign supreme.
All right, can we see which Club Satan's tits, Alex? Figure it out. Come back with it.
She said you have to bail.
They have decent tits, these bitches.
How about a Monomarth?
Yeah, in the meantime,
I don't even know if the soap girls are attractive at all. I have no idea. But they just, I just know they're, they look like twins and they show their titties. They just perform with their titties out. Sick. This is not, Alex, what I'm looking for, just, you wouldn't know this either, but like, it's, they do a thing, the audience, it's the audience does like a Viking, like they all like row a giant boat. Hey.
Row my boat gently down the stream. Merrily, merrily. Merrily. Merrily.
Dave, let me hear your metal voice. Go.
I hate my mom.
It's just Lewis.
They love their moms very often.
It's just Lewis.
No.
I love my mom too much. My father was stabbed. My mother stole from me, and now my sister steals from her daughter. My history has a long past of anal rape.
Let's see. That's retarded. I hate it. I'm actually mad that I'm on a Marth.
Oh, it's so retarded.
You guys are going to this concert?
I will
we're
not
going
row.
To, we're going to see Pantera.
I will not row with Amon Amarth's loser fucking fat white audience.
I wanna walk out of this YouTube video.
Yeah.
I can do I get my money go, back?
But I would go up from a distance and see what it looks like. No interest in being part of the row,
It's terrible. What a shitty
I don't know.
Thing.
This is just, again, this isn't even my kind of music. Really.
Stop trying to be unique, Amon Amarth.
But they're opening for Pantera that night.
Amon? Amon
Amarth? And Amon. It's A-M-O-N, I believe.
It sounds like a like the goth dude in high school that all the girls still want to fuck, though.
Oh, God. You see Amon Amarth? He's 6'7". Some tall gawk.
Yeah, did you find which Club Satan's tits yet, Alex?
No. They don't do that.
Well, I'm finding them clothed everywhere.
This is crazy.
Jesus, dude. And the soap girls just nonstop tits out. It's like they really delivered. The soap girls delivered. Dave, is this even a competition at this point?
I think everybody's losing.
No, stop it. Stop
it. Slut metal fucking... You know, it had its time. Remember, what was the band?
Butcher Babies.
Butcher Babies, yeah. They were fucking so bad, but they were just so hot. We were like, yeah, all right.
The one was crazy hot.
Yeah.
She started banging like the drummer from Pantera now.
Is she?
That started happening on the boat. They were trying to keep it quiet, and it was just funny talking to the musicians, and they were like, those two would just... I don't know if he was in the process of getting divorced or something, he was on the boat, but... Whatever it was, you just never saw the two of them at all. And then they would just show up late night to things, just like holding hands in a corner in the dark.
It was the drummer from Kitty pinched my ass.
Nice. It was a guy, though.
No.
Wow. He thought you were a girl.
She was a child. They were children.
Yeah.
I went to go see them when I was...
The last time they were hot.
Well, I think she was 15 or 16 years old, and she pinched my butt.
Oh, how old were you? Are you much older than them?
Maybe 17.
No. Why would she pinch the worst part of your body?
She was like, fix this.
Yeah. She goes, your problem, Mary, is boom, pow, bing.
This isn't good. That's not good.
Yeah, you left out that she pinched an inch on your stomach and then purple nurpled you. You just talk about the ass part. Ew, yuck, change it.
They were sisters. It was the drummer was a sister with lead singer and guitarist. And then there was the hot black chick, Fallon. And then there was just the three. I think it was just the three of them. at first.
No, it was a four person. I just watched a documentary on them not too long ago.
You watch a kiddie documentary? You used to love any documentary Jay is in.
Oh no, that was an interesting one because first of all, they went through crazy shit because they were just teenage girls.
Well, the dad like wrote and recorded a lot of the music,
but that
band was created by the drummer and the singer's father, and he essentially like just made these like little metalhead chicks.
Pretty funny.
She wasn't a good drummer. The drummer was a bad drummer. I remember seeing her being like, "Oh, she's
pretty funny to attack me for enjoying documentaries when you have all this information."
I became friendly with them.
You got your ass pinched once. Slow down.
No, we saw them at Valentine's nightclub in Albany, New York. Right? There was you remember this, Jay? WSOU. WSOU.
Me?
Yeah.
From where?
It was South Jersey Pirate Radio. They played heavy metal.
No,
I didn't. Wow. It was from Seton Hall University. It was like the Seton Hall University radio station.
Yeah.
It might have been AM. It might have been an AM station, but if you were
those are always AM.
Yeah, if you were in like Rockland County where I was, you could really hear it when you're on your way to the city, like going through Jersey. Mm-hmm. But you could sometimes tune in. Look this up, Alex. What station WSOU was? Like 89.5? Yeah, 89.5 WSOU. It might have been FM. But this was like notorious. Like, it's the only place you could hear actual real metal on the radio was Seton Hall's Pirate Radio, WSOU. And we would fucking listen to it. And we were driving through Jersey one day, me and my buddy Dave Green. And they were like, "This is a brand new track from Kitty," who are like an all teen girl metal band. And then they played Brackish. And we were like, "This fucking rules." And then we saw they were going to be in Albany. So we drove up to Albany. And we were like, I want to say, 2 of 12 people there to see them. This is like
no
super,
shit.
Super early. I'm talking about like this is before they did anything. And they were so appreciative. They were like you said, like they had like tears in their eyes. They're like, "You came to see us. Like, this is fucking crazy." And then, yeah, they were being super flirty. The drummer pinched my
butt.
And then
that young girl jerked you off?
Nope, she didn't jerk me off. But then they played like we got backstage at Birch Hill because they were playing with Glassjaw.
Yeah.
And they invited us backstage at Irving Plaza. They were playing another show.
And then a 13-year-old girl ate your ass while you jerked off.
And then I fucked this child to Brackish.
just keep changing the age. And then an 11-year-old came over and just polished your knob.
I just don't remember any of their other songs. I just remember Brackish.
Hang on, I'm like, oh, dude, I like the Run Like Hell remake was my favorite.
The cover? It was a bad cover.
Shut up, dude. It's a great cover.
They're terrible, dude. They were a terrible band.
You better run. They have a video for that. Hang on, I'm going to go get a tissue real quick.
Please. Jay has to cry. He's thinking about Kitty. He's so happy.
It'll happen.
Yeah. Dave, do you remember Kitty at all?
No.
This is like so out of your wheelhouse.
This is not my interest.
Yeah. Metal chicks?
Never dug it. I just didn't listen to metal. It was always to me kind of like stupid. I got like, you know, when I started hanging out with you and Jay, like you guys were both into metal. So like there were like a few songs that I actually started like getting into, but I've just never really been my type of music.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you got your butt pinched.
There they are.
Gorgeous.
This is a later version of the band. This is when they became adults. So the two sisters are one and three are sisters. Three is the lead singer. One was the drummer.
What's up? You think we won't pinch your butt?
The sisters are all the way on the left and second from the right, correct?
Yeah, one and three. Morgan and what was the drummer?
Which one pinched your butt?
Drummer, far left.
Yeah, she does have that pinch and butt energy.
Yeah, she's kind of a big bitch. Like, just kind of tall and drummer.
Which one got you?
The drummer on the left.
All the way on the left?
But Alex, pull up the old, like, old Kitty. Like, the first, because it was the little black fucking guitarist was the hot one.
Well,
did any of them ever,
it was right on brand
ever
for
do
me.
Porn? Alex, search Kitty porn.
I call me a sucker for it, and I know she was like a little pudge at one point, but I was the straight lead singer if I was going to go for a Kitty girl.
lead singer Morgan. No, she had kind of like a weird little Bull Dyke mouth.
That's what Jay's into.
That's my thing, dude.
Alex, pull up an old like old kitty.
Old kitty.
I just want to see what's gonna happen. What's gonna come?
I mean,
up.
You know,
when you just search old kitty.
Old kitty.
Yeah, this is how I remembered.
Or by the way, young kitty is not a good one either.
Yeah. No, this is when I met them, what they looked like. This is also, it reminds me of, like, this is what me and my friends were. We were,
oh, buddy. This is 1990, whatever. The Godsmack cover fucking haircut that all the girls were doing. The Jennifer Aniston-inspired hair.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, but this was them.
And you like the one all the way in the front.
Yeah, the little black chick. She was the hot one. Fallon.
Yeah, no, I was lead singer guy. This is a terrible picture.
I think I started like following her like on Instagram or something later, like not that long ago, like a few years ago. And she's just like does like adult music now, like contemporary, like she's like a real musician, but nobody gives a fuck.
They, I think they got like, back together at one point. The documentary is funny because now it's just like seeing them as like 40, not, like 40 something year old women.
How old is this documentary?
A couple years, 3 years.
I might watch the kitty documentary. Yeah,
3 years ago?
This is them. Hell yeah.
Look up the kitty documentary. Play the trailer.
Play the trailer. Jay loves a fucking documentary and a trailer about it.
Yeah. I like gathering information about stuff.
A documentary trailer is like when you open a book on the inside cover, like the little description.
Let's see. Do you always have to watch the whole documentary? Sometimes you can catch it all in the trailer.
Alex, I can hear you clicking, and I don't know why it's bothering me so much. Thank you. What's the kitty documentary called?
I don't remember.
Kitty Litter.
Prime. It's on the Amazon Prime.
The Lives and Times of Kitty. Kitty Origins and Evolutions. Let's see. 2018. That's from a while ago. Some 7 years ago when they were already old.
The band's history in one sentence, holy fuck.
Holy shit, no one cares. Holy fuck.
From the first note that they start, it's intensity, it's aggression.
We wanted to be something. We wanted to be a band eventually that toured and inspired people.
It was overwhelming because I was actually on the sidelines seeing it just shoot up.
It'd be like 300 kids. Front of the bus, not even letting the bus pull out of the venue.
Not when I met them. There was 12 kids.
They would be rocked.
They were just at the right age to just be blowing up right then. And
you're not realizing, you know, what's actually happening because you're still fucking Mercedes. In high school.
Those were the fingers. Those are the fingers.
We wrote was brackish. It wasn't even supposed to be included on the album.
You can go to one of their shows, get in the pit, and just lose yourself for 90 minutes. And hope you don't come out with a broken nose.
They
pause this.
Made history.
Shut the fuck up. This is not a brutal pit. This is not a band that anybody gives a fuck about. It was like a little slice in time where it was such a a fucking, you know, it was teen girls playing metal.
They had MTV video. They had radio hits.
They did main stage at Ozfest 1 year, I think. They did second stage 1 year, and then I think they were invited
main
back to the stage?
Main stage? Yeah, no way.
So. I think so.
What?
Yeah.
That's only like fucking four bands on main.
But if you listen to their music, I'm not even being a snob here, it legitimately is just not good music.
You better run!
Stop naming their one cover.
I love it.
You do.
I like Pink Floyd, and I like Kitty. And I like Pink Kitty.
Ooh.
Meow.
Do you remember there was that band Baby Metal as well? They were pretty badass.
Isn't that just like the Asian girls that were
Asian girls
around?
Diggy, 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 diggy.
Ding, 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 ding. I don't know. I couldn't tell you any music by them at all whatsoever. I just knew their stage show was just four girls in a fucking... in like schoolgirl outfits.
Yeah, they were like little fucking Asian girls that like, you
but
know.
I don't remember the music being worth anything.
I don't know, dude. What do you want me to say? I like teen metal. I just enjoy some hot teen metal.
You do like the hot teen metal?
Yeah.
Do you like that screamo?
Let's see.
Screamo.
This is their video?
Yeah. So bring them live. Show them live.
Yeah, live was fucking crazy. There was that one video that went viral a few years ago. Give me chocolate right there. No, go back. Wait, go
this,
back.
This is like a band from a recent band?
It's pretty recent, yeah. Baby Metal do Give Me Chocolate Live, yeah. That one's the one that they got famous for.
Oh, really?
Oh, this...
Chocolate. It just says the words and moves on. Give me chocolate. Now dance, bitches.
This seems like not the way you're supposed to dance to this music.
They're Asians. They're weird. They're quirky. No, they're teens.
I think this didn't make sense to me at all.
It's crazy. It's psychotic.
But
I could jerk to it.
Oh, oh, getting dizzy.
It's insane.
This is retarded.
I like it. These girls are cute.
I'm not sure if you like it or if you're being put in a trance. This is evil.
Yeah.
Oh, I dig it, dude.
So these ghosts of the three girls who died in a car accident? Oh, I remember you guys died in that cheerleader bus thing.
What do you mean? We grudge ghosts?
We grudge ghosts. But it's so funny, like, it is like a real metal band playing in the background. They just got three, like,
yeah,
young Asian girls to do this. Like, they would be just doing, like, K-pop instead.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I want to see a documentary on this. I bet this is a way more interesting story.
I bet it's, well, I think it's a dime a dozen story possible. I think if it is like that, if it's like the K-pop world, like, you know, they have, like, boot camp for that over there. That it really is like, you know, they always make the jokes like the factories that are here, like that put out, like, you know, the same kind of people put out like New Edition, New Kids in the Block and all that shit and Moving Forward and up to like NSYNC and them, like they have there. It's just like a flat out, like a decision that could be made. Like, actually, you're not going to go to high school. You're going to go to like
dancing,
singing. You're going to go to singing, dancing school. And it's like a boot camp where they just make sure that, you know, they're being weighed and dancing and all that shit. And I'll tell you this, Lewis, you might be surprised, but I'm going to let you know. There's a documentary on it.
Wow. Wow.
Might blow your mind. But yeah, it's fucking weird. It's like, all right, everybody, wake up and go do your fucking spins and toe taps before breakfast. And it's just like, they're mean. That's why they just crank them out a dime a dozen. When people figure out what they like, what kind of goes popular, like what was it? Not B. What's the BTS? That's the Korean boy band. There's 50 of them. Like of those boy bands.
Yeah,
just making the same music, and they all.
It's gonna be weird. Like coming up. Like, I mean, I don't even like today, right? Like, if you're like, whatever the open mic version of a boy band is. Like, you guys still have to, like, dance when there's nobody watching? Like, it's...
Dude, when they do those things, when they show, like, the... You never seen that? Like, young, it's like... I remember when we were first getting started, and it would be, like, boys to, like, New Kids in the Block would have to go to a mall and just do it. Just yeah. Get up there and start doing it for, like, 12 people that were stoked
like,
on it.
Like, carnivals and shit. They'll be, like, yeah. On fair, and, like, they're just, like, doing their shit. You're like, this is fucking ridiculous.
Whoa.
You almost say they have to be manufactured and then, you know, massively released. Like, there's no, like, you know, doing fucking bye 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 in the garage for nobody. Like, what are you doing?
The thing, though, is good if you got 12 people at a county fair watching you, though, why it's if you have the skill, it's easier to sing and dance is because, unlike doing comedy at all, like, you could put your head down essentially and just do it, just do the performance that you know to do. It's just impossible to do that with like comedy.
With comedy, you have to live in the awkwardness of the moment.
Yeah.
Like you can't like just go, hey, I'm doing my performance the same. It's like, you, man, dude, it's so funny because like that's something all three of us really just don't do anymore. But for so many years, we just regularly would do a show where it's like, there's six people here. There's oh, six yeah. people in a room that seats 200.
Oh, Dave,
six
I people. Mean, I'll say we don't ever do it anymore. There's been a couple.
All right. So this is still Lewis's every Saturday night, but for the rest of us,
well, you know, the early, they're the late show.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, even if you didn't sell great tickets for the week, it's not like it used to be. I remember moments where like with the three of us, where we'd be sitting outside like Laugh Lounge or something, and they'd have a rule of like six people have to, if six people are here, we're doing a show and there's four people downstairs.
Yeah, yeah, people are out front trying to get two more people in.
Yes. A party of three walks up and you're like, fuck, we have to do the show now.
That feeling's crazy. You were rooting
for them to not come. And then you're like, now I have to go downstairs into a room that seats 110 people with six people there spread out. And you got to go, hey, so this is awkward.
Let me tell you.
I was walking down the street the other day and you have to like just do a comedy act for them. It's so ridiculous.
I'll tell you that a personality thing I fucking hated in like comics that I was starting with out there in that time was that those are the ones that would be, they'd be the one desperate to go, oh, man, I want to get two more people in here. So we definitely have to have the show. It's like, you want to perform these things so bad that you go into a situation that you know is going to kind of suck. Because you're like, if we can just get 10 people, it's like, you know, a 10-person audience sucks too, right? Like, if you get them, it's like, we have to do a show. Like, you're actually doing a disservice to the 10 people in a lot of ways, you know? instead of just letting them go find a different situation that's going to be. It's New York, especially, too. If you leave this 8-person audience show, you're only a few blocks from a show that's like actually jumping and like, you know.
Well, very often you'd get the six people in and then the first comic will go up and three of them would leave. And now you're in this weird position where it's like, well, technically we shouldn't have a show, but now everyone has to perform for three people that don't want to be there.
Because yeah. Oh, we already started it. We can't end it now. And then there's a weird thing. When you perform for six people or three people or whatever, you know, it's like, you know, there's just like this natural thing that's on your side where like if someone heckles, they're the starting point is typically that they're wrong. They're in the wrong. They're interrupting a show. There's 200 people here watching a show and you just interrupted it. But like when there's three people in the crowd, everyone kind of just has license to talk. It's like, I don't know. It's weird that you're insisting that you're the only one who talk in this small, intimate group of people. It's just like
obnoxious.
I'm talking about the psychos in comedy that would be amped up for those eight. Do you know what I mean? They're like, what are you talking about, man? Those people want a show. Let's go out there. But like
I remember it well. It would be funny when one of the people was a problem. It's such an issue when you only have three people if one of them is a really shitty audience member.
Oh, yeah, one of them's also a dick.
You're like, oh, God.
Guys, real quick, do you want to do some pluggeroos?
Sure.
I'll go first.
Please, Jay.
BigJComedy.com for all my dates. I'm all over the place. Look for a city near you. Bonfire, Faction Talk, SiriusXM 103, 5 days a week. Me and the great Robert Kelly, and of course, Story Wars, America's favorite new game show obsession right here. Story Wars coming soon to Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. Come see me tomorrow if you're watching this live tomorrow night, Mobile, Alabama, at the Crescent Theater. One show only, Saturday night. Let's fucking party, June 28th. Then next weekend, I'm in Atlantic City on July 5th and 6th. Then I'm filming my next special. July 10th, 11th, and 12th, I'll be in Tampa at Side Splitters. The taping is already sold out, but you can get tickets for Thursday, Friday. Other stuff coming up, Timonium, Maryland, Kansas City, Missouri, Providence, Rhode Island, Portland, Maine, Key West, Levittown, New York, Batavia, Illinois, and more. So, yeah, get those tickets at lewisofskanks.com. Sign up for my mailing list. Get a bonus podcast. Get my newsletter every single week. Go pre-order my book, Knives and Spoons, coming out December 2nd, right before Christmas, boys.
Yee. Davey?
Yeehaw. Guys, July 10th through 12th, I will be at Denver Comedy Works. Really looking forward to doing my first time at that club, and everybody loves it, so I'm very excited. And then I will be back at what is one of my favorite clubs in the country, Hilarities in Cleveland. That's July 17th through 19th. Then Comedy Mothership, another all my favorites. Comedy Mothership, August 22nd through 24th. And then I'll be back at Tacoma and Spokane Comedy Clubs. Love those guys. Detroit House of Comedy, Tampa Side Splitters. I basically have like all my run of like all my favorite clubs. So please come on out. ComicDaveSmith.com for all those tickets. And then, of course, PartOfTheProblem.com to support my other podcast. And yeah. That's all, and I got a whole bunch of. Oh, did I leave?
No, it's my bad. Nothing like that's ever happened before. Sorry.
Sorry, Alex. Alex just got furious with my plugs. Jesus Christ, Dave. We get it. You're doing Pierce Morgan again. Okay.
And then Dave moves on the screen now.
Well, I'm more comfortable down here.
Okay.
Oh, hey.
Hey, guys. Dave. Oh my God! What are you doing down there, bud?
Hey, my best friends.
Hey, Jay. Hey, Dave. No, wrong way, buddy.
No, Lewis.
You're both wrong. That way.
Look at the screen. Look at the screen.
I'm looking at the screen. That Jay's on that side to me on the screen. He's right there.
I'm looking.
Oh, really?
Dave, you're there.
Yeah. No, but you guys were looking off to the side.
Okay, hang on. Now Lewis is here. Now Jay's.
No, there. That's wrong to me again.
And then Dave, you're here now.
That's not how it looks to me.
This show sucks. All right, now we settled all that.
Now we can move on.
Now, fine.
Oh, yeah, Jay, you do plugs.
I did them first.
Wow. Oh, you went first.
Wow, Dave. Oh,
sorry.
Guess you didn't jot down any dates. Yeah, boy.
I'm having weird stomach problems, and I got to go to the fucking DMV after this.
That's a good place to have weird stomach problems.
Yeah, they love it.
They fucking love it.
Make sure you bring all the right stuff you need.
I don't even know.
And even then, because I went there with all the right stuff, and they made me so frustrated, I just walked out. But I walked out without saying anything racist, and that was big. That is big.
That is a big improvement for you,
that
Jay.
Was big. I was going to. They saw it coming, and I just went, "Give me back my stuff, please." And she was like, "What? But you don't want a regular ID?" And I went, "Please, my stuff back, please."
Well, worst case scenario, I have to get a regular ID. My ID is expired.
Sure.
So what do I? I'm bringing my passport, my birth certificate, and a letter from the IRS with my address on it.
Maybe it's all fine.
My other ID, a credit card, my insurance card. I mean, what else do I need?
Maybe that's more than enough.
And I have to rent a car tomorrow, which I hate fucking renting cars, but I have to rent a car when I get to, because I got to drive everywhere. I'm doing three different cities. They're all like driving distance.
Where?
I'll be in Baton Rouge, calling Baton Rouge.
Hey, take me out there.
Baton Rouge, hurry up. Won't you put her on the line? I got to talk to my girl just one more time. By the way, his catalog is incredible.
It's awful, like, but that was great. When
are you out of your mind? That.
No, Garth Brooks?
Garth Brooks, incredible.
It's terrible.
No, you're saying incredible wrong.
No, it's terrible. It's the worst.
It is coming out. I'm hearing terrible on my end, Lewis.
Dave, you're the deciding factor. You're the deciding factor. If Dave agrees with me, I fuck you in the ass, Jay. Dave, what do you think of Garth Brooks?
Greatest singer ever. Hey, spread him.
Spread him. Buddy, and then you did Chris Gaines. Are you counting Chris Gaines?
No.
You're not counting that in his catalog.
Alone.
Was your mom into Garth Brooks? Is that what it was?
No, it's funny as my sister told me this the other day. Just the other day, she's like, "Do you know why we were into Garth Brooks?" Because I just would follow her.
She was like, "Because I used to molest you."
Just wait.
I did terrible things to you.
Wait, hold on. What? How would that make me like Garth Brooks? God. No, it's just where it went. You never know where molestation is going to go.
She was 2 years older than me. Like, she would just sort of like set, you know, so that's why I got into metal. Like, she got into Skid Row and Motley Crue and Poison. So, like, that's why when I was like a little.
Yes, because your leader in life was a woman who steals money from her daughter. Well, we're following her.
This is, honestly, this is, you know, probably, you know, it's not her fault. She's a real victim. She's even, you know, she's a girl. She had to deal with it a way worse life than even I did. And she's older. She was more conscious of everything. Yeah. You can't blame her. Mm-hmm. But so she would like, she liked metal music. So I liked metal music. I just looked up to my sister. She was 2 years older than me. Right. And so she got really into Garth Brooks. So I got really into Garth Brooks. And that album, No Fences, is just like great front to back. Great album. But she told me the other day, she was like, you know why we're into Garth Brooks? And I was like, no, why? She was like, because there was an interview with Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, and he said that his favorite artist was Garth Brooks. So she just started listening to Garth Brooks because she was obsessed with Shawn Michaels.
She was just following Shawn Michaels in life. In
so the reason you like, see, the reason you like Garth Brooks makes you double gay. it's like two tracks of gayness.
Heartbreak Kid.
That's funny, dude. He's just like, that's the kind of country that I just don't like. It's like that.
I don't know. I was always a huge James Taylor fan, but that's just because Marty Jannetty loved him.
Dude, I really enjoyed the Nappy Roots because it was Papa Shango's favorite band.
Yeah, I fucking dug deep on his ZZ Top because Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Oh, shit. By the way, sweet, why people always come up with lists of the best finishing moves ever in the WWE. Mm-hmm. And Sweet Chin Music is always like in the top three, and I'm like, it was kind of not a great finishing move, just a kick to the face.
One of those that it was weird that it worked. It would just be a regular move in the match. It was just a regular move he did for a long time. And then he had some other like terrible finisher, but then it just, for some reason it worked. It just kind of caught on. But no, I wouldn't put it up there. And like,
there's a great moment as well. If you listen back to Shawn Michaels throwing Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window, was it Jerry Lawler or was it, I think
Brutus,
it was Jerry Lawler.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
No, but Jerry Lawler was commentating. And he goes, he's like, Marty Jannetty's so afraid of Shawn Michaels that he just jumped through that window.
I'm pretty sure it was Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Was it Bobby Heenan?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
It might have been the King already at that point. I don't think so. But it's such a great line.
I'll tell you what's
great. That is a great line.
Going back in your mind, the things you have to accept is like when you did buy into like the wrestling soap opera, Shawn Michaels retiring Ric Flair with the Sweet Chin Music and having to look over. And when he looks over at him and the thing, they make like a movie. Do you remember that? He looks over and he goes, I'm sorry. I love you. And then he has to chin music him. Like Ric Flair just sits there and takes it. If you have the time to kind of talk to him before you do it, he could have gotten out of the way.
Sweet Chin Music was a shit move.
He goes, I love you. I'm so sorry.
Sharpshooter was a great finisher.
Sharpshooter was great. The Pedigree was great.
Pedigree might be my favorite finisher ever. Pedigree is a great finisher. Incredible finisher.
I think a good jackknife powerbomb.
Yeah, but these were like almost like not signatures. Nah, right?
You know it's a great one, Lewis? The Razor's Edge.
Oh, Razor's Edge was great. Anything you could do on your little brother in the pool.
Oh, so great. Yeah.
But a Razor's Edge, though, at the end, to me, it was the how cool you were going to look in execution of the move. And Razor's Edge was too much of a sellout to be that cool looking.
What do you mean?
Powerbomb was complete domination. You flip the guy up, you put his cock in your face, and then slam him on the ground.
that's a good way to finish it. You get his cock right in your mouth and jam it into your own throat.
The powerbomb did have a moment there. That's why you have to slam him down so angry, because you're like, get up here. And then you go, get your goddamn cock out of my face.
The problem with the powerbomb was it was just a generic move. So what didn't feel signature. So it was like Psycho Sid did it and Diesel did it.
Agreed. No, although same could be said for another one of the greatest finishers, which was Jake Roberts' DDT. But he just, there was something cool about the way he did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the slap you back and then take you down.
they did a really good job for whatever reason of convincing me when I was young that there was something like Jake the Snake Roberts DDT was like, no one's ever kicked out of that, man.
It's
you're done if you get that.
Actually, I know what my favorite was that was probably the most psyched for when it would happen. Call me crazy. Diamond Cutter, which is ironically, again, a bit of a sellout. It's a complete body sellout.
What do you mean a sellout? I don't understand what you mean by that.
Just like where it's
you mean
like
that they clearly have to participate in it. You mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying it's a sellout where it's like if the move involves like you also.
Well, I don't know what the word sellout means.
Yeah, clearly. Like if
I don't know, it's like if you were like a comedian,
a sellout move, like a suplex, a vertical suplex is like a sellout move, or a back thing. It's like when you do the move, but both guys like you get hurt doing the move, but you do it all the time. You know what I'm saying? When someone does like a move that like hurts two people always, like they do it and then they're both always rolling around the ground, like, damn, it hurts. Like, why would you have done that move?
The Razor's Edge you didn't hurt yourself doing the Razor's Edge.
Nah, but you look like a doof because you have to put your own, like, because you went down underneath them and threw them over you.
So you started off like a powerbomb. You go powerbomb and go above the head.
Yeah.
Push up, slam down.
But you'd have to go down with them.
Yeah. Like
underneath them. Gay.
What? What a weird line to draw.
Yeah, that is the one I draw, though. You're gonna have to fucking deal with that, mister.
Not when I powerbomb your cock right into my mouth.
The difference between a diamond cutter and a stunner was the stunner you went down on your ass when you did it, and the diamond cutter is just like the
your back.
You just it's like you put your body completely like flat.
It's also kind of like the RKO, right?
Same exact thing, I believe. Yeah. But I loved when Diamond Dallas Page would hit a diamond cutter.
Yeah, I Brock Lesnar's
I was not watching at all at that point, but that I have seen the move. It was cool. It was a cool
it's
one.
It's a cool move. It's a cool move.
Is that the one, or is John Cena the one that spins you and slams you?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Because there's one like that where it's like they spin you in the air and like almost like a body slam.
Yeah, the pedigree was great. The Undertaker's tombstone pile driver was always a fucking great.
That was fun. The Legion of Doom, the thing where they lifted him on the shoulders and then he clotheslined him off was cool.
You would know this one. Try to pull up if you can find it. Pull up the Eliminators, Total Elimination. They were an ECW tag team, and one of them swept you while the other one kicked you across your chest. It just looked fucking awesome. It was a great like tag team finisher.
And who did it?
The Eliminators in ECW. They were like super athletic, like martial artist dudes, but they were fucking jacked and big.
Do you remember when sorry, go ahead, please.
4911, oh no, not again! Total elimination!
I was a sucker for any rock and roll-y themed guy in wrestling. If they came out with a bunch of bandanas and stuff.
That is a cool finisher.
Oh, it's Taz. Not Taz. No, it's okay. Saturn.
Give it to Francine again. Fucking doing it to fucking skinny bitches with their asses out.
Total elimination.
What's that guy's name?
Mikey Whipwreck to win the tag team title belts.
Philly rules, dude.
You guys, you remember when I keep wanting to say Demolition Man, but that's not the Demolition, was it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Was that so? Remember when Crush joined them and their whole thing was they all wore face paint, so the ref never knew when one of them was coming in, and so they always had a fresh man coming in. But Crush was like a 6'7", like chiseled out of rock. Like he looked nothing like the other ones. Like it was so they just had face. You forgot on.
Demolition looked like dads, dude. They were already like the older men, like, slick back hair.
Yes, it was like two dad bods, and then this fucking stallion. And that we were supposed to believe that the ref just because they put face makeup on, it was just, I don't know. Seems like I think that's what we were doing a second ago.
No, it's still me, Doug.
Yeah, what was it? Smash and Axe,
I believe. Smash and Crush.
Axe, Smash and Crush, yeah.
Which is weird. They were like, we're just going to add a third guy to our tag team. You can't do that.
That's a pretty huge advantage.
Then they brought in a fourth one, Puke. It had nothing to do with anything.
Really?
I don't remember this.
Puke? Yeah.
No, Puke was the character that other guy was playing for a little bit, but I don't think he was in Demolition.
He was going to be in Demolition. Am I crazy?
I don't think so.
I might have timelines wrong.
They also had they had great theme music. Here comes the EX. Here comes the Smasher. The Demolition. Walking Disaster.
Are you looking at that, Mike?
Destroy.
Draws. Yeah, he's gonna puke.
The greatest Vince McMahon.
And that was he was gonna be part of Demolition, I believe. Axe, Smash, and Puke, and then he got in a fucking wheelchair for life.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. It says that he was not in the tag team, but he was supposed to, but then he got power bombed and said to do a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So that's what
was. Oh, so he was supposed to join them?
Yeah, sometimes they grabbed his shirt and the power bomb didn't go right and he kind of landed on his neck.
Isn't that fucking crazy? Like your whole career is just over for play fighting during your play fight?
Your legs are over. Career. Your whole career's over. Your day of enjoying a good set of steps is over.
Oh, it says he was in the Legion of Doom for a little while. Is that what you might have been thinking of?
Yes, that is probably more what I was.
He was in the Legion of Doom. Really?
They put everyone in that tag team.
They were gonna try. Yeah, and that's what it was. So it was Legion of Doom. He was gonna be Puke. Oh man, our fans, people were fucking furious about that. I'm glad we got to correct that.
What?
And our fans are like, "What is he? He was in the fucking Legion of Doom, man." LOD.
They were great too. They were fucking.
They were great. They had an aura about them, dude. There was something as a little boy. Their fucking the football gear with the spikes on it was just so fucking cool, dude. Loved them.
No, there was no back in NWA when they would come out. They could still come out to Iron Man by Sabbath, and they wore like actual spikes and shit when it was like much more low rent. They were always. Probably if you had to go through all time, like my favorite wrestlers of all time, as far as they just looked the coolest, the makeup, the shit they talked. Good documentaries on them, too.
They also weren't actually that great on Mike.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Oh,
no. Well,
yeah.
That was
well, animal.
Here you go.
Welp. What a rush.
There was this like genre of like the way there was like Ultimate Warrior was kind of like that, and Hawk and Animal were too, where they would just like they would speak in this like kind of like grandiose biblical shit talking. None of it made any sense, but it kind of just like
was just he was just bad at everything. He wasn't a good wrestler. He wasn't good on mic. Little kids just like looking at his rocking body, and he would just come out with so much energy.
We thought his hair and body was so cool.
His body was just so fucking toit that I was like, that's the guy I want.
That's all it was. Yeah, it's all they fucking wanted to show you, and it worked immediately.
Yeah,
as when people were like, "Oh, Hulk Hogan, his muscles are all smooth; they're not rippling with veins."
Hulk Hogan, you like forget how large he was too. He's a fucking big motherfucker.
He's like 6'7" or something. Right?
Yeah, yeah, he's huge. He was. You know,
you ever see him next to Sylvester Stallone?
But then it got like. Whatever it was, he just didn't. Time passed. Like, then you have like the Undertaker was just so big and so tall. Like, Hulk just didn't seem that big. But Hulk's thing was that he was massive.
Yeah.
They named him after the Incredible Hulk.
The Hulk, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking wild.
But I was never, literally never really into Hulk Hogan. Whatever it was, his
thing. I was when I was a little kid.
I was
a Hulkamaniac.
So, WrestleMania 6 was Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior. I was already. A little warrior. I was already rooting for the Ultimate Warrior. I was like, fuck Hulk Hogan. He's kind of old and like whatever. And I only saw WrestleMania 5 was the first WrestleMania I ever saw at like this kid's house in my neighborhood. So it was really, you know.
When he fought Ultimate Warrior?
I loved Hulk Hogan as a kid, but by the time he fought Ultimate Warrior, I for sure was rooting for the Ultimate Warrior.
Of course.
As soon as he came in, that
and
was.
Then Ultimate Warrior, it seemed like he was gone for forever. And then he came back at WrestleMania 8, right?
Yep. It was gone for a year or something like that. But in our lives, that was like
it was fucking, such a. For, it was first of all, was
dude, are you kidding? I was seven back then.
It was 20% of my life he was gone for. And then he came back and it was like the craziest thing in the world. Like, oh my God, the word. But he was not gone for that long.
Well, what was crazy to me, I think I told you this, Lewis, but I was watching that the latest like WWF documentary on Netflix, which I love. Always love a good wrestling documentary. What was crazy looking back at it was like I came in to like I was like a fan around WrestleMania 6 is when I started watching. And I thought in my mind, like WrestleMania 3 being the big thing where Hulk Hogan fought Andre Giant, that was like before my time. But I thought of that as like the olden times. You know what I mean? Like three years earlier seemed like that was like from a pre, and you're like, oh, it had just become a big thing. Like it was just a few years before that. It's weird, your perspective on time.
Yeah. Yeah, like King Kong Bundy 2 years previous was like main eventing.
Yeah.
Like that just seemed like so long before.
That seemed like your grandpa's wrestling or something.
Yeah, like Bam Bam Bigelow when he had like he was like really popular, and like then when Bam Bam Bigelow came back to fight Lawrence Taylor, I was like, this is an old school, like an old timey wrestler. I don't like give a shit about.
So funny, the things you never think to pinpoint or have a moment, but I wish I had like a moment of like the last time I watched an episode of wrestling, because I was like, you know, it was like religion. Like every week you watched these shows, and just one day I said the shows didn't stop coming on. I just didn't watch it for a week, and then it was 2 weeks, and then I just got out of it. And it's somewhere.
By the time Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock were really popular, I was out.
Yeah, me too.
It was the one that Lewis went to, I believe, which I want to say was WrestleMania 11.
11, yeah.
Was I think the last pay-per-view that I watched, and I was just wrestling was in kind of like a lull. It just wasn't that good anymore at that time, and I just kind of like faded out of it. But there was a time, dude, I mean, when I was a little kid, there was nothing in my life that brought me the level of excitement that fucking WWF did. I remember, like, dude, you remember how like on Saturday morning, it was like Saturday and Sunday morning, they had like the show, they called it like Superstars or something like that.
Yeah.
And nothing ever happened. It was just the big wrestlers would wrestle like some guy who's Jobber. There to lose. Yeah. Who, the Brooklyn Brawler and like the other guys who were just there. It was just, you would do all your moves to this guy and then pin him. And then, but then every now and then something would go down. And I remember the so vividly, when the Undertaker put the Ultimate Warrior in the casket, and they almost made it like he killed him. It was this huge thing, but it was just going down on Saturday morning, and I remember just being like, "What? This is nuts! He killed him!"
There was always like one notable thing that happened on that, like Saturday morning Superstars or whatever. But it was, for the most part, it was Coco Beware beating up a guy named Jim Powers, and you're like, "What am I even watching right now?"
There was a guy named Jim Powers for sure.
He was already. Remember the thing was when Finkel, whatever his name was, Howard Finkel, the announcer, would announce people. It was always he would go currently in the ring because you didn't come down. To the ring. They're just a guy pulling the rope, you know, doing that thing. It was just currently in the ring.
Yeah, but those Powers. Guys, well, like those guys ended up like. Becoming like a jobber in the WWE was kind of a big deal. Those guys were like crushing it in like the regional circuits, and then they get called up to like test some stuff out and see how they work with guys. The whole like lore and how it all worked was like it was a system, which is kind of funny to me. Like, you're like, this guy's one of the most respected play fighters. What are we talking about?
It's just funny. It's like the Demon Hell Slayer versus fucking Scott Papadopoulos.
Dude, isn't it always so funny too? Like when wrestlers would always get offended with like if you said, oh, it's play fighting or it's fake fighting, and their response would always be like, oh, you think it's fake? I've had 3 vertebrae that were disjointed, 12 knee surgeries, 12 this, and you're like, yeah, no, dude, you can get hurt pretending to fight.
No, it's not even that. It's also like, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, no, that's from the amateur acrobatics you're doing.
But it's kind of crazy. Like it's got now the way it's changed because everyone's got podcasts and it's just known. Like now they don't even like pretend. Now they're like, oh yeah, that guy worked real well. He kept me safe. Oh, like
no, that's the
interviews. I actually find them very interesting. So I'll listen to Bret Hart or I'll listen to the Undertaker. Undertaker's got a podcast. All these guys like just talk about like
what happened back in the day.
I guess
one time the Undertaker gave Coco Beware like a really nasty pile driver, like dropped him on his head, and then Coco Beware wanted to fight him backstage.
Coco
Beware is just an actual tough black guy. So it's like in my mind, I was like, Undertaker, beat his ass backstage. You're the Undertaker. But Coco Beware would just fuck up people.
When it's hard, I'm sure, for young people to imagine this. This is how old we are. But when the three of us were kids, wrestling being fake and cigarettes causing cancer were both known but officially denied. Yeah. Like literally the official position was like, well, no, we never admitted any of that. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think a lot of them complain, like the kayfabe thing is like dead. Like you don't even have to keep that up within the same arena. Like when the little bit I looked at out of WrestleMania this year, when it's like, oh, they show a girl wrestler who like wrestles with like makeup on, you know, some kind of weird design on her face and whatever, she's like a psychopath. They do the thing like other sports where they show her showing up with her, you know, her rolling bag.
Oh yeah, yeah, coming
in, and they're just like, there's like hey, blah blah blah, and it's like, isn't this like when she's gonna come out later, like where her, you know, she's like possessed or something? And then now she's just walking in, she goes, hey, what's up everybody.
Yeah, that's that goth chick, people love her, Rhea Ripley.
Yeah,
she's fucking jacked. She got a cool finishing move. She got a really cool finishing move.
Didn't she just fight somebody in the audience too?
Maybe.
Wasn't that her? Because somebody should have grabbed her.
I gotta wrap this one up, boys. I gotta head over to the DMV.
It sure was a lot of metal and wrestling talk. Every loser who didn't have a dad enjoyed this episode.
Hey, go tell your stepfather thanks for being around. We'll catch you guys next time on Legion of Skanks Live from the Stand. Until then, peace.
Been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
You must be fucking over, Lewis.
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
You ever try to watch a retard draw a swastika? It's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
It's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.